Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens. But the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today.
A second part to a first part of a podcast that I did in fact release and never finished and said I was going to finish the next week following. However, I wanted to talk about intimacy instead. So I did. But now we're finishing what we started, because one thing about me is that I have made it a mission to not be flaky. I am someone who loves to cancel on a plan, okay? But this past year, I've made it a goal to not be someone who people think is flaky. And I feel like I've done somewhat of a well job. I'm still practicing that muscle. I'm not perfect at it, but you know, I try. And that's all a girl can do. So do with that what you will. This is Q&A part two. If you haven't listened to Q&A part one, you can go back. If you have no idea who I am, it might be smart of you to go listen to Q&A part one. I am 23 years old. I'm 5'6". I'm a female. I'm married. I like to run. And yeah, I love Jesus. That's pretty much all I got today. So before I get into the second part of this Q&A, I wanted to give you guys a little update, because the day that you are listening to this, Tuesday the 4th, Ryan and I are going to be doing something very special. I kind of teased this a little bit last week, and some of you guys guessed it correctly. Ryan and I are, in fact, tonight going to be sitting in the audience of the live taping of Dancing with the Stars. I am so excited. We are so incredibly grateful and blessed to be able to have this opportunity. The saying, it's not what you know is who, it's, well, can I not speak? Hello? The saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know, is becoming more and more prevalent to me, because simply this opportunity is provided for us through connections. We didn't like apply for, you know, some ticket or buy the tickets or anything like that. We simply had a wonderful opportunity present itself, and we are so incredibly blessed. And I'm so incredibly thankful, because I've loved Dancing with the Stars since I was about 5 or 6. I've watched it my entire life. I love it so much. So since it's gotten so popular, and now that other people like it a lot as well, it just makes me so happy that it's erupting, because this is the show I've always loved, especially, you know, me, a theater kid. I've always kind of like fangirled about this show and the people on it, and the pros and the stars have always been really, really interested in it. So I just love that it's finally getting its well-deserved publicity and fame. With that being said, I am so excited. I'm going to be wearing a little gold dress, and Ryan is going to be wearing a little cardigan with black pants. It's our first time going to LA. We fly out on Monday. I'm filming this episode on a Sunday, as in Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday, we will be sitting in the audience, because I film every podcast last minute, because that's just who I am. Yeah, yeah. Actually, back in the day, I used to film the podcasts day of, and I would literally record them and then post them. I wouldn't even edit them or anything, but you know, we've leveled up. Now I have an employee, aka my husband, so he edits these. Hey, Ryan, love you. Shout out to you if you're watching this right now. Love ya. He's in the room over, actually. But let's hear how he feels about Dancing with the Stars. Let's see if he's excited about it.
Ryan, you want to talk about Dancing with the Stars?
All right, we have a special guest today. Yeah, tis my husband, Ryan Luckett, here to talk about how excited he is to see Dancing with the Stars.
I'm very excited to see Dancing with the Stars and see our favorite dancer of all time, Andy.
We love Andy. We absolutely love Andy. Every single week I've been voting for Andy and Elaine, yeah, because I vote from the heart. Okay, people, I love voting for people that just make me so happy.
Here's the thing. I don't want either of them to actually win.
Ryan, that's mean.
It's not mean. I want Robert to win, but...
We love Robert.
But I want Andy and Elaine to stay as long as they can. Elaine's actually good, though.
Honestly, at this point, okay, first of all, they're all actually good. But Elaine does have this, like, star quality that I don't think you can teach, okay? At this point, I would be happy with pretty much any of them winning. I think they either have the talent or they have the heart. So at some point, all of them deserve to win. Like, if any of them won, I'd be like, okay, I could see that. They deserve that.
Andy?
Ryan, why have we been voting for him?
Because he's the best, but winning Dancing with the Stars is...
so much more than a dance competition.
Yes, but the level of skill in your, or talent in your dance matter, weighs a little bit more than just the heart, in my opinion. And
I think it's about 50-50.
See, and even if it was 50-50, that's where Andy doesn't deserve to win.
Wait, you don't think he has the heart?
He has all the heart. He just doesn't have all the talent.
But he has the dedication and the effort.
Yes, but let's be honest. I just don't...
and the growth.
Here's the thing. This isn't an argument about who should win, but he hasn't developed, like, much anyways. Like, it's not like he's been...
I think he has.
It's not like he's been really bad and has become, like, decent. He's just been, like, really bad into, like, he's still kind of bad. But I love you, Andy, and I got to go return something for us. So I'm going to let Abby finish this, but I'm really excited to go to Dancing with the Stars. It might be my favorite date night, Tuesday night, that we've ever had. I'm really
excited. This is going to be an epic date night for us. By the way, just because Ryan and I are married doesn't mean we have all the same opinions. So I have some differing opinions. I will vote for Andy until he gets off because I love Andy and I'm so happy that we get to see him dance this week. I'm not happy that any of the other people got eliminated, okay? But I am happy that Andy is staying, as well as Elaine. I'm very happy that Elaine is staying because them two just make my heart so happy. All that to be said, this season is intense. So I'm really excited to see the behind the scenes. Maybe I'll film like a podcast about how it was after. I don't know. The last Dancing with the Stars episode that I filmed for this podcast didn't really do that well. So I don't know if that means people don't really like Dancing with the Stars or if like that just wasn't a very interesting topic. I don't know. So I'm genuinely curious. Let me know if you want like a post Dancing with the Stars experience podcast. Please let me know because if not, I'm not going to do it. So this isn't just a ploy for me to be like, comment. So we get comments. Like, I genuinely am curious. Do you want me to do it or not? Because if no one says anything, I'm not going to do it. And that's all I have to say about that. The other update I have to give you is Ryan and I have made a new tradition. Every November 1st, we decorate our entire house all in one day dedicated to Christmas decorating. Hear me. This is a very hot topic. Halloween was also a very hot topic just this year. It seemed way bigger in the Christian culture world today. My glasses are like getting on my nerves. Sorry. That was so squirrel brain. If you're listening to this podcast, you have no idea, but I've been messing with my glasses basically this entire time. Okay. We're here. We're zoned in. We're locked in. Christmas. Yeah. So, I mean, Halloween. I am all over the place today. Anyways, Halloween. It was a very, very hot topic. I've shared some of my stances on the holiday, but I can see both sides. At this point, I'm happy that I can celebrate Christmas in peace. I know some people say like Thanksgiving first, then Christmas, yada, yada, yada. I was ready for Thanksgiving before Halloween was even here. Halloween just isn't my favorite in general, whether, you know, you factor in your beliefs in it or not. Just Halloween as the holiday itself, just as like what goes on in the world and everything. It's just not my favorite. Like, it's a little gory. I love dressing up, but it's just, I don't like decorating. Like, I'm not going to decorate for Halloween. That's just not a thing that I do. Christmas, I'll decorate for. So I was ready for Christmas before Halloween even happened, but I am not psycho, okay? I'm not going to like seriously decorate for Christmas before Halloween. I might just like listen to some Christmas music before Halloween, okay? I'm only like a little psycho. However, clock strikes November 1st. That tree is up. We have a tree right now in the podcast studio. I'm staring at it. It's gold and green. I absolutely love it. Shout out to this week's vlog. You'll be seeing soon. It's a Christmas decorating vlog. So you'll see how we decorated our house for Christmas. But yesterday was November 1st and we went to Hobby Lobby, Target, some thrift stores, and TJ Maxx, and we balled out on some decorations. It took like 10 to 11 hours to purchase everything we needed to purchase, buy everything, go back out, get things we forgot, come back. But all in one day, we have successfully put up our Christmas decorations and I could not be more happy. Our home smells like nutmeg and cookies and cranberries and all things Christmas. We have paintings up. We have two trees up. We have ornaments. We have, Ryan and I really like the white frosted, like fake snow kind of trees. I actually have one literally right next to me. Here it is. If you're watching, you can see it. But I just, we,
we love Christmas. We absolutely love Christmas. So that's our update for you guys as a married couple. Also, Christmas, just as a married couple, it's my first time being married ever, but being married on Christmas. And it is so fun, like actually so fun, because you can decorate your house if you live alone or if you live with your family. Like, you can still do these things, but there's just something different about being married and doing it. And also, I think there's something different about Ryan and I feeling like, oh my gosh, like we're going to start a family one day. And these are going to be traditions that our family is going to be a part of. And it's just crazy. Like, I don't know. It's just really crazy. Also, this is a podcast exclusive. Okay. So if you don't listen to the podcast, you won't know this. However, Ryan and I are not pregnant. So if you don't listen to the podcast, you probably think we're pregnant right now, because I'm actually getting like text messages from my friends that are like, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? Because Ryan and I posted a video of like poses we'll do when we're pregnant. Just something funny, like silly. Ryan and I have been into posting more comedy videos lately. We just think it's fun to create. So we like to post it and people seem to somewhat like it. So, you know, we make funny little skits and things like that. But we posted one where it was like goofy poses we would do if we were pregnant. And it was him like bouncing my belly like a basketball or just silly things. Everyone's like, is this a hint? I think this is it. And now we're seeing, so I did like a deep dive on our comment section on like our past couple of videos, and people were like, they're hinting at it. They posted Baby by Justin Bieber, the video before, and just all these like super intellectual things, to where I'm like, y'all are giving me too much credit, because I am, even if I was pregnant, I am not that smart to piece it together. So I feel so honored and flattered that people think I am that smart and bright to be able to hint things like that. However, I'm not. So you guys are way smarter than me, because you are picking up on things that I had no idea I was even doing. However, it is kind of funny to like lean into it. Like one of the comments that asked if we were pregnant, I did a shrugging emoji because I just think it's funny. But no, we're not pregnant. And if you listen to the podcast, now you know. So the people that know I'm not pregnant, that's how I know if you're a real podcast listener. All right, I have talked for incredibly too long, so it's time to talk some more. I put out a poll on my Instagram, That's Life Potty, PODDY, asking you guys to submit some questions. We did a Q&A part one, but now it's time to do a Q&A part two, because there were just so many good questions that I did not get to answer from last week. So I'm excited to answer them this week, because y'all have some really deep questions that make me think, and I was really excited to answer them. So let's answer them now. How do you navigate eating the biblio way with not being restrictive and still going out to eat? So for those of you that don't know, I read this book called The Biblio Diet. I talk about it all the time. I absolutely love that book. It's by Dr. Josh Axe and Jordan Rubin. And it basically talks about how to eat. It talks about what the Bible says on how we should eat, how we should fill our body. But it goes through and it has charts of, you know, foods we should eat, foods that we shouldn't eat. And, you know, this preservative that isn't good for our bodies, and this kind of meat or that kind of pasteurization that is very mainstream today, but the Lord didn't intend for us to eat that way. And it can be looked at as restrictive. I totally 100% understand that. I think the thing for me is, at the beginning of the book, it said, you know, it's not a sin to not eat this way unless you feel convicted about it. But it's a heart posture thing. And it's also the mindset I have about it. And the thing that they said in the book is, the Lord intended for your body to digest certain foods. And so if you want to honor your body as a temple, you're going to feed yourself the food that the Lord intended for you to put into your body. It's not like you shouldn't do that. It's just hey, if you feel sick, or if your digestive system isn't working, or if some things are off in your body and you don't understand why, compare what you're doing with the way that the Bible says to eat, and then see what doesn't match up, because that could be the reason. And so I think that's kind of where I stem from reading that book, because yes, I do have to be very, very careful. And I do have to, with my history, treat myself differently than other people who hadn't had this struggle would be. My husband, for example, who's never had an ED thought in his brain before, probably, he can have a couple protein bars for dinner and call it a night and not think twice about it. That's just not something that I'm able to do. I put thought and effort into my meals, because if I have a protein bar for dinner, that's going to be triggering for me to continue to do that every single night and be like, oh, well, I can get away with just having a protein bar for dinner. That's just not healthy for my mindset. And that's the same thing that I have to apply with reading that book. I'm in a place in my life now where I am fully aware that I am always in recovery. And I think it's a dangerous place when you don't admit that to yourself. I always used to think that if you were struggling, you were not recovered. And if you were not struggling, then you were recovered. And I do not believe that anymore, because of my past experience during my engagement season with struggling with binging. I am always in recovery. I am always going to have to be aware of this thing that I've dealt with. And even though I'm not actively struggling with it right now, I do have triggers that can lead me back down that path. And I think the beautiful thing about the Biblio diet is that it is faith-based with God as the foundation, not a diet prescribed to you by a person of this world. And therefore, it's just not something that's triggering for me. And it could be something triggering for other people. And that's fine. I have just gotten to the place now where I'm able to fast biblically. I've never been able to fast before in my life because it is a trigger. And fasting is a very faith-based religious practice that a lot of people do. My husband does it all the time. But I was never in a place to be able to do that until very recently because I knew what my triggers were. And so just because there's this faith-based practice thing that could be good for some people, it may not be good for everybody. And so I think that's just something that you have to take into consideration with / if you are considering reading this book or considering doing anything diet related, whether that's gain weight or lose weight, inviting people into it, having people be aware of what you're doing. I mean, that's part of the reason why I posted it online was to hold myself accountable of like, okay, Abby, you're in a really good place. You're reading a book about, you know, changing your diet, cleaning yourself up, eating healthy foods. You've got people that are.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You know, watching you and will call you out if you're not honoring your body the way that you should. So making it public is helpful for me, but that doesn't mean that you have to post about it too. I would though invite community into it and be like, hey, I'm reading this book. If you notice this, this, and this, check on me. People are more than happy to do that for you. It doesn't mean they're going to be watching you like a hawk being like, are they eating? Are they eating? Are they eating? I also just think it's a heart posture thing. If you feel in your gut that you shouldn't read that book, don't read the book. Or if you shouldn't do that diet, don't do the diet. But for me, the lens that I have on it, I am in a confident and healthy place to be able to apply that. And it's not an end all be all for me, if that makes sense. Like I can have ice cream that may have certain ingredients that that book tells me aren't good for my body, but I don't not let myself eat those because if I crave it and I don't have it, I'll binge on it later. But again, it's different for every single person. Like someone else who's reading that book may be like, oh, well, I just read this book and I really need to clean up my diet. So maybe I shouldn't eat that even though I'm craving it. That could be someone else's story. But for me and my history, I read it as insight, but not as strict rules. What's your sister like? Wow, I haven't been asked many questions about my family. I absolutely love this question because my sister and I have had, a very up and down relationship. And she wouldn't mind me sharing this because she's also very open with her life as well, but we could not be more different. She's 26, I'm 22. So we're 4 years apart. So we were never in high school together. We were never in high school at the same time, but we had the same friend group growing up. So from about the age of when I was, I guess, born to maybe like 10, we were really, really close. And then once she got into the middle school age, like high school age, that's when things started to get kind of rough for us. We are pretty much opposite in every single way, or were growing up. She is very girly. I was not very girly growing up. I still consider myself not like very girly. Stereotypically, I don't do the stereotypical girl things. Like, I don't know. I don't enjoy wearing a ton of makeup. I do now, actually. Well, I do enjoy wearing makeup, but I don't know. Like stereotypically, when I think of like a girly girl, it's like the movie with like the nails painted and the wearing really nice clothing that's like tight fitted and styled and just like a lot of makeup and I don't know. I could be wrong and this could be very out of touch, but those just aren't things I enjoy. I guess in 2025, it's all kind of blended together. But at the time, that just wasn't what I was interested in. I was more, just didn't really like to do the things that she did. We had very different personalities. She was very opinionated and I was very sensitive. So we butt heads all the time. And then since we had the same friends growing up in theater, it was almost like kind of like a competition in a way. She is older, so that obviously gave her a leg up because everyone wants to hang out with the older girl. Okay. It's just how it is. It's just how it is as the younger child. Everyone wants to hang out with the old kids. But then there's also an added level of she has this beautiful gift from God to make friends with anyone. She was just so able to be social at any moment of the day. As to where for me, I just felt like an outsider growing up. I was very awkward and I felt like I had to perform in order to get people's attention. And if I didn't make them laugh, then they wouldn't want to hang out with me. And so it just felt like a lot of effort for me to be around people. And I put that on myself. Like no one else put that. But you know, growing up, hitting puberty, all those things, I just felt very pressured to be the brightest personality in the room or else I was worth nothing, pretty much, which is kind of deep and dark. But for her, it just came so naturally. It was so effortless and people just gravitated toward her. And so I was very insecure and I let that bleed into our relationship. And then when I went to college, I did work with her, which was really fun. She was a wedding planner and I was her assistant. And that was nice. But again, like she had entered the adult world and I was in college. So I was super busy. I was studying musical theater, which is another added level. It's like equivalent to, I would say probably like a D1 athlete in college. Like that kind of schedule, like you were pretty much doing stuff from 8 a.m. to like midnight every single night. So I just didn't get to hang out with her a lot. And we grew apart. And then when we would get together, we would butt heads. And it was kind of that back and forth. And we had a really, really big falling out, like a big falling out. And then we had a heart to heart. Maybe a couple months later. And ever since that point, we have grown closer and closer and closer as to where today I am closest with my sister compared to any other girl friend figures in my life. Yes, she's my sister, so it's family, but she is my best friend. And I never thought that we were going to get there. She is such a bright light. I started looking at our differences as positives rather than negatives, looking at our differences as ways for me to grow rather than ways that she doesn't understand me. And it just took a lot of time to get there. I think we both matured. She's grown a lot in her faith. I've grown a lot in my faith. And so we allow that to be the foundation of our relationship as to where before, like we literally just focused on. So yeah, my sister and I have definitely had our ups and downs, but we are officially best friends for those that wanted to know about my sister, who she is just as a person. She is the most giving soul. She can celebrate people so easily and so well. I tell her all the time, I'm like, you literally have the gift of hospitality. Like she wants to pour every ounce of who she is into celebrating other people. She's an event planner, so it comes very naturally and easy to her. She loves to celebrate people and she can literally just go, 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 go. It's actually insane. If you have the pleasure of meeting my sister, you are going to be blessed. She is just so awesome. And I'm so blessed to be able to have someone who I can learn from and look up to. And she's not soft spoken around people that she knows, but she's more soft spoken out in public. She definitely isn't going to be the person that kind of pulls for that attention as to where I feel like I kind of do. Like I'm a natural performer. So I feed off of people's energy. And then, you know, I like to put on a little show. She's definitely more of the sit in the audience kind of watch person. She's driven beyond anything. And yeah, she's the best. Love her. So hair product recommendations. I just always use Not Your Mother's, but I recently have discovered leave-in conditioner. I'm definitely not the person to talk about hair care. I have just recently started blow drying my hair. I use like a Conair hair dryer, but I really don't take care of my hair like I should. I really don't. I think my hairdresser, I maybe get my hair cut once a year. My hairdresser, I sound like such a pick me right now. I'm like, I don't even keep up with myself. Like I don't like makeup and I'm just not like a girl's girl. I definitely am a girl's girl. Okay. But I'm cringing myself as we speak, but I really just don't put a lot of effort into my hair. I just don't. I don't know. However, my hairdresser says that I have blue jean hair, which is basically like it can kind of just do and be like it can just kind of like do whatever, be whatever, and it'll look fine. You don't really have to like put too much effort into it. So I'm definitely blessed to have hair that I don't have to style. I think that's why, like, I debated on cutting it short because it's just easier, you know? I'm always tying it back. But one of the reasons why I've kept it long is because I really don't have to do anything with it. It's very low maintenance. And if I just want it to like air dry, it dries kind of wavy and has these like beachy texturized kind of curls to it. So it really is convenient. So I am not the best to talk about hair. However, I use Not Your Mother's hair care products if I do use any sort of hair care. Tips for when you're just beginning to date. I love the rule of three. I just think if you go on 3 dates and you still don't know if you could see yourself dating this person long term, I would just cut it off. Not to discourage you, but just like, why are you wasting your time? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you go on the 3rd date and you're still kind of like, I don't know. I did not feel like that with my husband. With Ryan, I, by the 3rd date, was like, oh, I really like this guy. Now, that doesn't mean you have to start dating him after the 3rd date. But if you couldn't see yourself in a relationship with this person after the 3rd date, I would just cut it off. I also think that we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially as like Christian women, if you are a Christian woman, but maybe even if you aren't a Christian or a woman, this rule can still apply. I've just, a lot of the Christian women that I've talked to relate to this. We put so much pressure on ourselves to be like, oh my gosh, well, I don't want to say yes to this date unless I know if I'm going to marry them. Like, I don't want to waste my time unless I think I'm going to marry this person. That is putting so much pressure. There's an importance of not getting involved with someone if you don't see qualities in them that you would want in a potential spouse one day. So I would discourage you, like, if you're going into this being like, they're not really like husband or wife material, but I'm just gonna go on a date for fun. Then I'd be like, don't waste your time. You're just gonna either grow feelings for someone that doesn't possess qualities in a future partner, and then you're just gonna try to change them or wait for them to, you know, grow or this, that, or the other. Or it's gonna end in heartbreak and you're just gonna waste your time. Or here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. We want so hard, at least I did, to just not date again. Like, I want my first last date growing up. I wanted my first last date to be my last first date. Did that make sense? Every first date that I had, I wanted it to be the last first date. And that just sometimes isn't always the case. But over time, I just kind of like after heartbreak, I was like, I just can't do this again. I just can't do this again. And then I would freak myself out about going on a date with someone because I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to marry them. And someone just came up to me and they were like, you don't have to know. You're an adult. Like, just go get to know someone. Normalize going on a date and then not having to be head over heels for them and texting them 24/7 after that first date. Like, normalize just going on a date and then going on your own way. And if you want to go on a second date, great. And then things can get more serious over time. But like, a date is simply a date. You are simply getting to know someone. It is simply a hangout if you do it, you know, in a healthy way with boundaries. Like, I'm not saying my version of when I think of a date or beginning stages of dating, it's not like going and making out and doing all these crazy things that you see in the movies. Like, that is not biblical dating in any way either. But just take it slow. Get to know someone. And if you've been friends with this person for a long time and now you're going on an actual official date with them for the first time, you already do get to know them. So just let yourself enjoy what could be, but don't set yourself up for failure by dating potential, and just enjoy the pureness of the beginning stages as much as you possibly can. Again, it's very easy to say that. And my first date with Ryan was not very easy, but I had to remove this idea of, I don't know if he's going to be my husband, or else I was just going to be a stress ball. I was going to be a stress ball change for the rest of my life. And if I would have stayed in that mindset, I would have sabotaged what I have right now, which is a wonderful husband. So give yourself some grace, give yourself some peace, and just breathe. How did you get into content creation, and how did you get your account to grow? I feel like this is the most common answer with content creators today, which is kind of annoying because I feel like a lot of people feel, I mean, I felt like this, that like, oh my gosh, it'd be so cool to do YouTube for a living or like make content for a living. Like, I thought that, but I never started content being like, I want to make something out of this and I want this to be my full-time income. No, this was genuinely just a idea of, I have so much to say and I don't know where to put it, so I'm just gonna put it online. I have no problem sharing my thoughts and beliefs with a wall. Like, if you know me, I cannot hide anything from you, so I'm just gonna share it. I love sharing it with people. I love being an open book, and you can have all the opinions that you want about me, but I'm still gonna stand firm in those because my opinions and my beliefs come from the Bible. And so it's just like, I don't know, might as well just put it somewhere. And so for me, that was online. I love video content creation. Growing up, I would always make video stars, iMovies. Like, it's just always been something that I love. So it started as just like my pastime, my hobby. I was studying musical theater at the time, and I just, you know, one thing led to another, and I just started like making videos for fun. Didn't really do much with it. And then my junior year of college, I was like, okay, it was like the end of my junior year. And I was like, okay, I have 1 year left until I have to get a big girl job. So let's just like see where this could go. At this point, I had been doing it for about 3 years, just, you know, posting somewhat on Instagram, but doing weekly podcasts episodes, like literally this is what it was. It was just podcast episodes and then a podcast Instagram where I would post once a week and be like, new podcast is up. I had like 500 followers or something. Like not a lot of people listened to it, but I just loved doing it. Like my goal wasn't to grow. My goal was just to put it somewhere. So anyways, I was just thinking about like, what job am I going to have? And so I was like, okay, I have 1 year left of school. This is the only year that I have until I have like that I can put all of my energy and effort into this because I have the comfort of school right now. I don't have to pay for rent. I don't have to pay for all these adult things. So let's just give it my all for 1 year and see what could be because I know people do this as a job. So let me like start taking this seriously. So I started posting every single day because that's all I knew what to do. I just started posting every single day and I was like, well, what do I post? And then I literally, this is the piece of advice I give to anyone who wants to start content creating. You have to believe that you are interesting. Like I literally had to be like, okay, I am interesting. Like what I do, people find interesting. And that's not cocky. That's not overly confident in any way. It's believing in yourself. Like I literally had to think of ways that set me apart from other people. And I was like, okay, well, I am literally set apart from the world because I'm a believer in Christ. So that's going to be the main thing that I share. Like I want people to look at my content and be like, what's different about her? And so the main driving factor is always to spread the gospel. My main driving factor has never been to get followers. My main driving factor has been to have people follow Jesus. And so I think that's always kept my head on straight a little bit in this industry. But then I was like, okay, like I don't have too much time to like take out of my schedule to go film other things for content. So how can I just create content out of what I'm already doing? And so that's when I started videoing my runs because I was running every single day. Like I am obsessed with running. So I just started there and then it kind of just blew up from there. Running was really big at the time, still is very, very big. And so we became a running page. And then from there, we transitioned from That's Life Pod Instagram to Abby and Ryan because it was like, oh, I'm posting a lot of, you know, Abby and Ryan and not a lot of That's Life stuff. I still had the podcast a little bit, but then we came to a point where we were like, all of our, you know, Abby and Ryan content is really picking up. Let's lean into us as marriage. And so we kind of transitioned from running into marriage content, Christian marriage content. And then, yeah, we've just kind of been going and going and going from there. And that's how I started. And now I'm here. And just saying yes to opportunities, saying yes to things, having interviews with, you know, management. We're represented by a manager now. And so that's how we're able to make money. They get us brand deals of products that we believe in. And then if we really, you know, feel like that product aligns with who we are and we can implement it into our daily lives, then yeah, we're going to promote it. Like, why not? We're using it in our daily lives. And so just over time, we've kind of gotten to this place now to where Ryan and I are both able to do it together. And it's great. It's amazing. But I think how we got it to grow was just the belief that what we do matters, and not the belief in us necessarily, but the belief in God through us. We are the vessel of, you know, and everything we do it for the Lord. And so I'm not sitting here telling you like Abby's beliefs and thoughts. I'm sitting here telling you the Lord's words that I have based my life on. And hopefully that portrays through a funny Instagram video or through how Ryan and I our marriage works or through a run vlog. You know, we still do those things. Like I still run, but it's evolved over time. It's grown. And then I also just think like at a certain point, you got to let go and let God. Like he has blessed us immensely. And there's not tactics or tools to amount to what we've been able to accomplish thus far and hopefully are able to accomplish in the future. You know, it's very easy to see people and them just be like, you know what? Like, it's not me, it's God. And then you're like, okay, but you've got to do something. Like, I'm not here discrediting the work that Ryan and I have put in into editing videos, talking about content with each other and, you know, being like, okay, how can we grow? You know, we have to look at our content as a business because at this point, this is our livelihood. This is how we provide for ourselves. And so we do want to grow from a business standpoint, but that starts with prayer. That starts with, Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to put out? You know, where are we going here, God? And I just think the blending of those two is beautiful and fun. And we're just out here trying. So I wish I could give you a blanket answer of like, these are the tools and these are the steps and there are people out there and that's their niche and that's how they work and that's great for them. I didn't ever follow a 5-step process to get to where we are today. It just kind of like happened. And so I really wish that I could tell you that like, this is what we did and you can do it too. You can do it too, but I think it has to be through your process or else it's not going to be vulnerable. It's not going to be genuine. It's not going to be what people want to see because it's not genuinely you. I think leaning into what makes you different is the best way to succeed in this industry for sure. So with that being said, this concludes the part 2 of the Q&A. And now I'm going to go get ready for Dancing with the Stars. Not currently now, but by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to this when it comes out now, then now I'm going to get ready for Dancing with the Stars. So we love you all. Thanks so much for listening. See you guys on the flippity flip. Bye.